Welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast, here to help inspire and plan your family's next big adventure. Kiki's Big Adventures all started with the award-winning picture book series about Kiki, the globe-trotting calico kitty exploring the world's diverse people, places, and cultures. I'm Shannon, the author and creator of Kiki's Big Adventures. Moms and families love the books and have been asking for help planning their own adventures. So here we are. This first season, we're featuring travel moms and their summer family adventures with their trip highlights, tips, and advice to help you. Adventure awaits! In this episode, we're talking with travel mom Michelle about her family's summer adventures in London. Michelle, welcome to the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast.
Thanks, Shannon. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. Well, I'm really excited to have Michelle with us today. She is a fellow author, as well as an incredible librarian, which just checks two major boxes of groups of people that I love. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a pre-published author. I work on writing children's books and middle grade stories as well. So picture books, just the manuscript side. I am not the illustrator. And when I'm not doing that or being a mom to my second grader and fifth grader, I am a children's librarian at a school, which is just about the best job in the world.
Wow. I love all of your pictures. One of the ones that sticks out in my head lately is that all of the people returning the books after summer.
Oh my gosh. It's so amazing. My whole job is about helping kids love books and stories. And that is just my complete passion. And how easy and wonderful is it to help kids love books and stories?
Tell me about your big family adventure this summer.
We traveled this summer to London, England, Leipzig, Germany, and Bologna, Italy. We had an amazing time with all of it, but I would say that London, which I know is Kiki's next destination,
yay!
Was hands down my children's favorite. In fact, my fifth grader now says that he intends to live there when he grows up, which I am all for.
See, that is so cool. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I think it just opens up kids so much. I'm so excited to hear that. Good for him.
I am excited to go visit him when he lives in London as a grown-up.
100%. That will be so much fun. But this was your first trip to Europe with the boys.
This was our first trip to Europe. This was definitely our first big time change trip. And the first time that we were going to be exploring so many things with of such deep history while trying to, you know, maintain our composure as second and fifth graders and parents.
That's great. Can't wait to hear about this adventure for sure. So what made you pick London?
We knew that our kids would be excited about London. We also thought that it would be a really good jumping off point. So we live on the East Coast, and it's a stopping point for us on the trip with time change. Not a big deal to get there from here. And we knew it would be a really good place for our kids to get their feet wet with traveling. The language was the same. They would be able to ask questions. They would be able to participate in their learning and activities. And we knew that they'd be excited about a lot of the history that we could find there. Both of my kids have been interested in, like many young people, war and royals, and we're excited to expose them to that. We are not people who typically spend a lot of time going deep on research and trying to plan every minute of our trip. My husband and I, by nature, are sort of fly by the seat of our pants, see what happens and experience it kind of travelers. But as parents, we've learned that doesn't work as well. We need to have some sense of where we're headed. And you know, he and I might be able to wait 2 hours for a meal, but that does not always work for our kids. So what we did was, before we left, and being a librarian, we checked out a bunch of books, fiction and nonfiction, about the places we were going. And we spent some time with them as the family. I also handed them to the kids and said, like, hey, take a look at this. And like, here's some sticky notes, stick them on things that look cool to you and let's explore. And we gave everyone the opportunity to pick like one thing that was really important to them to do in London. So that was fun because the kids got to do a little bit of research and choose things that were meaningful to them.
I love that. I've heard that from a mom recently. So you have to tell me too what they picked, because that's really great.
And then it also then, I think, helps build the understanding that sometimes they're going to be doing things that are not necessarily their pick. So for example, my pick, I wanted to do a high tea in London. I love tea anyway. I love fancy high teas. That was definitely not my second and fifth graders, or maybe even my husband's first pick of what they wanted to do. But it was special and important to me. And so they sort of just had to roll with it. My husband and my older son picked the Churchill War Rooms. So that was great. And because my son felt like my husband had that one covered, he then added to his pick the British Museum, because as a fourth grader, we went over the summer between his fourth and fifth grade year, he had just finished studying Egypt, and the British Museum has a lot of cool Egyptian and Greek artifacts. And then my youngest son, the second grader, was really interested in going on the London Eye, which was not anyone else's pick, but we did it because that's what he was excited about.
I think we just hit three things that Kiki is into in the new book. So very excited.
I didn't even know that. I've been a long time Kiki fan, but I have not seen an ARC of this book. So
how was tea? Where did you go?
Oh, tea was great. I don't remember off the top of my head where we went, but I would highly recommend it just for an experience. It was fancy. My kids had to dress up. They hated that part. But once we got there, it was just such a unique experience and something we don't do a lot of in the States, like take minutes in the middle of the day to be sort of slow and fancy. And I loved it. I perhaps was the one who loved it most, but I think that sometimes that's okay for kids to see too, that someone else can really enjoy something that they just find fine.
Perfect. We were there, I guess it was 2 years ago, but I would highly recommend at Kensington Palace, L'Angerie, that is right there, has a nice tea. And it was fun just to look out at Kensington Palace. I just love that you had everyone pick something. And so everyone was getting something out of the trip.
And all the sandwiches are crustless. So that's got to be a jumping off point for at least some kids, right?
Totally, totally.
There was no suffering there, truly.
None at all. Did their picks pay off for them?
Totally. We went to the British Museum and let our fifth grader, this was his pick. We got a map of the museum the night before and let him sort of map our route through the day. And it was really
brilliant.
Yeah, he was so excited to see the Rosetta Stone, to see all these artifacts that he'd read about. And then after that, we did just some exploring and saw the many, many amazing things that they have in the British Museum. We were there at a very busy time of year, but we still all really enjoyed it.
You guys went in June, correct?
Correct. And it was definitely packed. The British Museum around the Rosetta Stone was great. We actually went twice. We went once in the evening, which was lovely. And so we were only there for a short amount of time and it was much more empty. And then we went back because we felt like we wanted to see some more things. I will say that we approached this trip and all of our trips with the idea that we are not going to see everything, that you are going to leave some stuff for the next time, hope that everyone wants to come back. And we err on the side of leaving while we're still ahead, as opposed to trying to fit everything in.
Very smart. And how long were you in London?
We were in London 4 days.
Four days.
So not a long time. So we really did have to focus our efforts.
The British Museum was a success.
Yes.
And then the Eye.
Yes, the Eye was also a success. We were very lucky about the Eye. We had heard from many people that this is something that you really ought to book ahead, but it's tricky if you don't know what the weather is going to be so that you have your view. And what we did was we spent time first in the Tower of London and then did a nice long walk on a day where it had been drizzly while we were at the Tower of London and cleared up in the afternoon. So we walked over to the London Eye, and because the weather had been poor, there was no one there. We were able to buy tickets, see the cool movie, and walk right on and get
nice work.
Yeah. Such luck. Sometimes you just got to leave it to the travel gods. And it was wonderful. And my second grader was really excited that we did it. It's okay if not everybody in the family thought it was the most important thing they did. For him, that's his like big memory and he loved it.
We did book it in advance, not even thinking about the weather. But you can go on and book like a little champagne experience too if you're going just as adult. That's kind of fun. But I'm so glad he had fun. And I think you do have great views. Kiki definitely goes on a ride.
Oh, I bet. I bet Kiki does. It was really cool and beautiful. We did it on one of our last days. And so we were able to then also point out things that we had seen around the city and get oriented from above a little bit, which was really fun.
That's really cool. So then we've covered your best, the kids' best.
Oh, yes. So my husband, we have two more locations, which are the Churchill War Rooms and the Tower of London. And both of them were absolute highlights. They were great. Something that was similar about both of them is that they both had really good audio tours. And I highly recommend if you are in London or really traveling anywhere else, if they have audio tours, especially ones that can be differentiated for different age groups, I recommend them. They are perfect. They're flexible for different ages. They have buttons to press. And who doesn't like pressing buttons?
That's very cool.
Yes. It also meant that there was someone else in charge of what we were doing and the pacing of the time, which when you're traveling with your kids and you're constantly the ones in charge of the pacing of the day, it's nice for them to be hearing, now it's time to move on from someone else. And they're also hearing about things that they're interested in. Because with all of these, in both places, you could push buttons for whatever you were standing in front of that you wanted to learn about.
Oh, that's so neat.
Yeah. So it also meant that we could, you know, I could stay a minute longer at something that was really interesting to me, listening to the adult explanation. And my kids could zoom ahead a little bit and listen to something else that was more appealing to them. And the Tower of London has lots of ravens at it. And so they have this cute audio tour where the ravens are the hosts for the kids. I listened to a few of the kid ones first as we went and then switched over when I wanted a little bit more depth to the adult version of the same thing. So we could all be looking at the same display or the same historic artifact and get a different depth of story about it.
What a great idea. I love that.
It was really cool. And the Tower of London is amazing for kids. It has giant jewels and gemstones because it has all the royal jewels, and it has all sorts of cool torture stuff, which if you are a second or fifth grade boy is pretty interesting. The other thing is the Churchill War Rooms are fascinating. This was my husband and my fifth grader's pick. I was game. I was ready to participate, but I also thought that they were so interesting. So these are the bunkers that Churchill ran World War II from. So during the Blitz, this is where he was. This is where there was British, I guess, army that were stationed in that was where they were stationed to work. They lived underground. It is a huge series of underground bunkers. It's very serpentine, very, if you're claustrophobic, it might not be for you. It's a little bit cramped, but it has been very well preserved because really, when the war ended, it seemed like everyone just up and left from those bunkers, and they were left sort of unattended for a long time. They have the map, a huge map room where they were tracking where all the ships and where they thought U-boats were, where all the Allied ships and where they thought U-boats were. And you can see the gajillion pinpricks in the wall where they were tracking all of it. And just to imagine living down there, my kids have read some about World War II and are fascinated by that level of conflict. And so it was really compelling. And you were able to hear many clips of Winston Churchill giving his amazing speeches. It was very interactive. There were lots of screens to touch and things to pull out and things to do. And my kids were able to really self-direct because it was most of the museum is in one room together. So we just let the kids wander around and look at what was cool to them. And they would say, Mom, you got to see this. And Dad, you got to see this. And we would pull them over to see other things. So we were all able to really absorb what we wanted to. I feel like we could have been there probably like 6 more hours.
Right.
That is something that you want to get tickets in advance. So if any of the listeners are thinking about doing that, Churchill War Rooms, you do want advance tickets.
Okay. And I think I had a mom on, Jackie, who was talking about Hawaii, and she took them to Pearl Harbor. And I think that's what she just loved being able to take them there, because not because of, you know, the fact that any of these things happened, but it really brings history to life for the kids. And that's exactly what I was envisioning as you were talking about the boys being able to see this and really bring it to life for them.
Yeah, imagining living down in those bunkers. And they talked about how Churchill didn't like it down there particularly. He wasn't very comfortable being underground, but there were people who lived and worked down there. You got to hear interviews from many women who worked down there, who were secretaries. There was a chef who worked down there. So you really got to hear all the different components of people who helped run Churchill's war rooms.
What a great experience.
Yes. Kiki should totally go next time she's in London.
She should. There's lots to learn. So as a family, did you all have a consensus, like this was the favorite thing that we did as a family? Or was everyone stoked that they got to do their thing on their list?
I think everyone liked the thing on their list. I think Churchill War Rooms was probably tops for everybody, which would have surprised me if you had asked going into it. It was an extremely well-done museum from an educational standpoint as well as an informational standpoint. And then we also made time in our days to just take them to playgrounds and let them play outside. So I think the balance of London worked really well for us.
Smart. Did you have a favorite meal while you were there?
Oh, goodness. We stayed in a very adorable part of London called Exmouth Station, which is over by King's Cross, sort of in that area of London. And I would highly recommend this area to anybody. It has so many wonderful restaurants that we were able to just walk to and join up. Only one night did we make reservations, but it's a really cute, hip, very sort of Brooklyn feeling kind of place. And so we ate great meals. We had an amazing meal in a pub that was directly across the street from our hotel. We had a really high-end Middle Eastern meal that was delicious. We took the kids for really good pizza one night. I think London can get a bad reputation for having not very good food, and we had excellent food.
Yeah, I think that's the thing too about London is there, you do get such a variety because it is such an international destination. I mean, yes, you can find the pubs with the mushy peas and the fish and chips and the bangers and mash, but it's an international destination. So I'm always impressed with the international food that we eat when we're there.
Yes. And my older son especially loves fish and chips. So that was a seller everywhere we went. And my younger son, everywhere had food that was easy for the kids to, you know, associate with. Like here, you can find plenty of kid meals and plenty of things that kids are going to eat, hamburgers or chicken fingers or any of that stuff will help ease the transition, especially if you're going further on to somewhere else where maybe the food won't be as familiar.
Right. Is there other pieces of advice or tips you'd have for London or just travel in general with the family and kids?
I mean, I think that traveling with kids is this unique balance of planning ahead and leaving a lot of relaxed time in the schedule somehow at the same time. Knowing where you're going to eat is usually useful, but being able to pull the ripcord on a museum and say, this isn't working anymore, we need to go to a playground. Being flexible within a schedule is really helpful, or at least that's what worked best for us. And that's not to say we didn't have the bumps along the road, because we did, but that's also part of travel and sort of learning how to overcome those.
Tell me about why you travel with the kids. What do you think are the benefits?
Oh, there are so many benefits for kids with travel. Flexibility that we were just touching on is a really big one. The ability to adapt to new situations, to appreciate the way other people do things that may or may not be different than how you do them at home. I've always valued travel. My parents did as well. And I remember one time my dad telling me that a kindergarten teacher told him that they could tell that I traveled a lot. And my dad was curious about why. The teacher said, oh, it's because when she comes to a new situation, she can take a little beat, figure out what's going on, and then join right in. And that is one of the things that's always stuck with me about what travel does for you. It gives you the ability to see different ways of doing things, figure them out pretty quickly, and join in, even if it's something that's unfamiliar.
That's brilliant.
If my kids can do that in life, then I think we're going to be in a pretty good spot. I mean, I feel like my kids had almost more work having to be flexible and patient when we went to Disney than when we went to London. So it can happen anywhere.
So it sounds like the trip was a big success. Are you all planning a next trip or dreaming about a next trip as a family?
Yes, actually, just two nights ago, my husband was saying, I think we should start looking at Greece. So that may be on our horizon.
Fantastic. You've got a Kiki adventure that you can use as part of your guide.
Yes, Greece, I think, would be great. My older son's fifth grade curriculum, they do Greek gods and Greek Olympics and that. So it'll be a nice tie-in for him. And Greece in the summertime sounds pretty fun.
It is a great time to go, for sure. Well, you're actually the third travel mom from this first season that has said they're going to go to Greece next. So popular destination.
Maybe we'll have to have a big meetup.
I know, definitely we should. That's a really good idea. I like
it. Yes.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being here, for sharing all of the goodness of your family adventures in London. And if folks want to learn more about your writing and the things you're working on, is there a place they can go to find out?
Absolutely. First, thank you for having me. It's been really fun to catch up with you. Yes, they can go to my website, which is MichelleO'HaraLevin.com. Or they can go to my Instagram, which is also Michelle O'Hara Levin. So it's at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, O-H-A-R-A-L-E-V-I-N. And I think that's also my Facebook. So there's lots of places they can go. And I would be happy to catch up with anybody about travel or books or children's books or writing or librarian stuff. And I'm also always looking for book and travel recommendations. So please shoot them my way if you have them.
Yeah, she always has great recommendations. I think I picked up two books that you had put on Instagram this summer. So,
oh, thanks. Yeah, I love sharing books on Instagram and getting other people's recommendations too. It's so fun.
Well, thank you so much again for being here, and we'll have to have you back on either before you go to Greece. Maybe we'll do before and after.
Oh, excellent. I can't wait. I'll have to plan a trip now. It feels like a requirement.
Totally. Okay. Cheerio.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you, Michelle, for sharing your London adventure details. There's an overview of the episode in the show notes. Head over to the podcast section of the Kiki's Big Adventures website for more specific details, places, and lots more travel planning tips. Thank you for joining us on the Kiki's Big Adventures Family Travel Podcast. Look forward to traveling together on the next episode. Adventure awaits!